This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
2 o'clock, and from the Chicago Wolves Update studio, I'm Connor McKnight.
Welcome back.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The new memories we can make, the opportunities for new names he could call himself, you know, the opportunities for new questions about animal travel that he could ask that could become staples of our audio regimen. We welcome Connor McKnight back to Score Airwaves. I know you've been on, Connor, I think with the morning show, but this is the first time I get to talk to you on the air in a healthy and fully legal capacity in quite some time.
It is absolutely true, and I appreciate you having me. They did not play any of the fun stuff when I hopped on with Molly and Haw a few weeks ago, and I'm glad we can relive it. But Speaks.
Yo.
Yeah. We've known each other a long time, my friend.
Yes.
And you did not play what I think is my greatest misspeak of all time.
Oh.
And it was on Mac and Spiegel back in the day. I was doing an update, and I said that Jay Podium was taking the Cutler in an update. And I finished that. You let me finish the update, and Jay Zawoski came through and kicked the door open and looked at me and goes, "Do you know what you've just said?" And I said, "No, of course I don't know what I just said. I wrote the script and I did the thing, and I have no idea what I just said." And he played it back for me, and you guys, rightly so, eviscerated me.
Aww.
I laughed like Ronji during the entire update, just uncontrollably. Jay Podium taking the Cutler.
Jay Podium taking the Cutler in just a couple
there
minutes.
I don't know if Robbie was aware of it. Oh, man. You know, it's your fault for going into broadcasting. You know what I mean? It's like, it's you know that these things are going to happen. Oh,
yes.
The things that I have done. It's true.
I'm just I'm just lucky that as a young broadcaster, I was able to make all of these mistakes in market three. I'm so glad.
That's the best place to do it. I agree.
Yeah.
Connor, what's the role at CHSN for everyone who knows you as a score listener and knows you as the update guy you used to be, and then the fine midday host that you were, and then the White Sox pre and post game guy at the other place, but the White Sox play-by-play voice that you have been on the radio and on TV. You do a terrific job. Tell us exactly what the role is at the new place.
Yeah, so thanks. I'll be the White Sox insider and field reporter. It's how we've decided to gin that up. I'll be filling in on play-by-play for John, like I will today on the breakout game on the TV side on CHSN. I'll be filling in on the radio for both Len and DJ. Should Len ever miss a game, or if, you know, DJ takes a vacation here or there, as is well-deserved, his many years in service to the White Sox. And we'll be doing a lot of stuff on the White Sox. Minor leaguers, I would expect we'll take a crew down to a minor league locale or three to find some of the big-name prospects and kind of bring White Sox fans their journey up to the big leagues throughout the year. We'll be on the road. And kind of the counterpart to Brooke Fletcher, as a field reporter in the broadcast as well. We're going to do it big. Chris Withers, our director at CHSN, has some incredible plans for how to bring the season to life for White Sox fans, and I can't wait for this thing to get going.
Wow, that's really cool. I wasn't sure whether you could continue to fill in on the radio. I'm glad you can. And then the stuff that obviously interests me the most is the stuff where you're going to give viewers a chance to zoom out and go down and look at some of the minor leaguers of consequence. That's really cool, because as I talk about this thing today, there are a couple pieces on the big league roster, the projected opening day roster, that are intriguing. But there's also a lot of, you know, dudes in their 30s who are solid big leaguers, but are kind of there to help instill habits and fill some space until games of consequence can happen. And we know that that's how these things go. But let's start at the big league level. Tell me a couple of guys who you are interested in, who fans should focus on, whose development at the big league level matters for the next time this thing hopes to be competitive.
Well, let's go with the guy that just walked by me here in the parking lot at Camelback Ranch, Sean Burke. He's going to be in the rotation as things start, it sounds like. And that's a terrific win for Sean, who I just gave thumbs up to and said congratulations as we're talking. And for the White Sox, it's a development system. I mean, listen, Speaks, you know it well. Brian Bannister and Chris Getz and Ethan Katz and the rest of the pitching development squad here with the White Sox have brought in as many weird arm angles and one weird trick will help you get lefties out guys as they can, but they have also worked really hard to develop a lot of starting pitching prospects. And I think we'll see a lot of them as the season goes on. And Sean Burke made three really interesting starts at the end of the year with high velocity, sitting top rail with the fastball and, being able to drop a curveball is pretty good as well. Who's to say what the ceiling is for him, but in terms of high velo kind of stuff, the upside you can dream on, Burke's one of them, and if you're going to see him get starts, I think that'll be a really interesting thing to watch. I think what also matters a bit as we begin the season, it would be foolish to say that a guy like Colson Montgomery or perhaps even Kyle Teal or Edgar Caro aren't guys to watch. Now, yeah, I know. They will probably be wearing Charlotte Knights uniforms, but I think pretty early on you're going to see them, and that development is going to be big as well. I think the pitching side, maybe as we start the year, is going to be a little bit more informative about where this team can get to in the years to come than perhaps the hitting side. Like you said, a lot of veterans that are going to be mixed in, but we've seen the success of Brandon Drury 2 days ago. He almost had a three-homer game, top-handed a liner out to the left that hit the top of the wall. But listen, if you can get the Brandon Drury that, I don't know, what would you say, eight contenders wanted at the deadline 2 years ago and the Padres got, then you've got a guy that maybe another eight contenders could want there too. And veteran influence matters. At some point, a young player needs a guy to show him, here's how you do it up here. And whether that's Drury or whether that's a guy like Matt Tice or down the line you go, that kind of presence will matter in this clubhouse.
Let me ask you about a couple more pieces that I think will be on the big league level. One is Shane Smith, the Rule 5 pickup, who had moments of dominance in the spring, what the role is going to be for him. And then the other is Miguel Vargas, who I know is hitting better. But, man, the way that Marcus Thames described him is like just, you know, having his confidence shattered as well as having mechanical issues. It scared me a little bit. But it's an important piece from that three-team, eight-player deal. So your thoughts on Shane Smith and Miguel Vargas.
Yeah, let's start with Vargas. Obviously this spring has looked a lot better, and he has looked a lot different, whether that's been some of the tweaks to his swing, some of the size that he's added, or just the production, right? I know we've talked about it a bunch. You and I have talked about it off the air when we run into each other at the ballpark, not allowed to speak on the radio the last year or so. But like,
that's right.
The swing decisions for Miguel last season, even though the results were abysmal, the swing decisions all seemed right. The chase wasn't a problem. So that is something you can build on as a skill set. He's hit in the minors just about everywhere he's gone, even if you adjust for, you know, PCL levels and whatnot, the Pacific Coast League. And I think this is a pretty critical guy for this stage of the White Sox rebuild. He's out of options. He's going to get the run, it sounds like, at third base, at least to start the year. And I think it's absolutely fair to zero in on what this will look like for him and start to evaluate what this front office has tried to bring in as they kick this rebuild into whatever the next tier is, you know, however you want to label it. He seems better at third. I don't know how good he can be, but serviceable would be good. And if the hit tool is better than the power, you know, and the patience and on-base percentage, so be it. The White Sox will have to find that power elsewhere in the system or perhaps in trades that might be coming down the line. As for Smith, you know, the high-octane stuff is, I mean, it's there. And it sounds like those will be the follow-up questions that we'll ask Will Venable here in about a couple hours at Camelback Ranch. Now that we kind of know that starting five with Sean Burke up and in it, that means Smith will not be. And we'll have to find out exactly what the plans are for him. Those are questions we'll ask, and I'll text you about what Will says here in a couple hours. But I would guess, like, keep him stretched out. I think there will be starts for him, right? I mean, you know, the value of a starter is better than the value of a reliever. And
yeah.
You need innings, right? I mean, the White Sox are going to have to find the innings to compile over the course of the year, and Smith can be a guy to do that. As a Rule 5 dude, he's got to be on the roster all year long or on the major league injured list, and hopefully that's not in the cards for him. But he'll have to be used, and I think high leverage could be an interesting thing. I don't know that the White Sox want to necessarily, like, name a closer, but I don't know that there's arms in that bullpen right now that would tell you Smith can't get high leverage, you know?
Mm-hmm. Talking to Connor McKnight from CHSN. All right, look, here's something I'm trying to figure out. I have my theory on it, and I've been espousing it because that's what I do. You know, I just, like, throw it out there before I know for sure. But I figured I might as well ask you anyway. Quality of teaching. You know, you got Will Venable, and you have his staff, including Walker McKinven, who is a nice grab from Milwaukee, and he's good with catchers. Like, I find myself wanting Kyle Teal and Edgar Caro to be here by, say, midseason, because I think the quality of teaching that they'll get here is better than the quality of teaching that they'll get at Charlotte, just because that's where the investment in the new coaches has been more palpable. Is that a reasonable thought?
It is reasonable and very understandable. And I think Walker McKinven is going to be a guy that factors in a lot of the discussions of how this team is evolving over the next year or two. Because it's not just the catching that he helps, but it's also the pitching side of things. It's the run prevention of it all.
Yep.
And Drew Butera's name gets brought up a lot as well. However, the caveat to that is this. The effort that has been put in by this front office to create a more coherent and kind of streamlined is the wrong word, but, you know, like, through line level of coaching throughout the minors is if not the central tenet of player development that this front office is getting to, then it's certainly, you know, 1B. And I think that's something that the organization has been striving for a while now and believes that it's got better locked down. I think.
Let's pause there, Connor. Connor, sure. Let's pause there because that's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Oh, it is.
Because,
no doubt.
Because like the idea behind Project Birmingham was like, all right, well, we like these teachers. At least we like this for starters. And the idea of what you're talking about of like making sure you have the synergy of coaching at every level is something that it's something that Theo did as soon as he got to the Cubs. It's like it's something aspirational that the Twins did under Tom Kelly and like and then when Gardenhire was there, it's like all these guys would show up and be like, oh, they know how to do it. Oh, they know how to do it. They know how to do it. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. it's the dream. So the fact that they're focusing on that is proper, and that's a big deal. And you think they have made strides in that way. So maybe I should relax a little bit and let the catchers be taught at Charlotte and know that they're being taught the way that they want the big leaguers to play too.
If I've learned one thing, it's that no one should tell Matt Spiegel to relax because he'll relax when he's damn good and ready. But, yeah, I do think that that's getting established here. I do think that that's on its way. And remember, too, technology is a piece here. You will have every bat and every plate appearance and every, you know, moment behind the dish for these catchers able to be broken down on film for any coach at any point in the level. And I think that matters a lot, too. You know, Sergio Santos is going to be the manager for the breakout game here in a couple hours. He'll have AAA Charlotte this year with Justin Gershley up to be the third base coach. Santos is a guy that may well be a major league manager sooner rather than later. So you're telling me that, you know, it just means to me Sergio's going to push this. You know what I mean? Like he understands the mission here. He wants what everybody wants, and that's a high level of success in kind of the same way that the interests are aligned with, you know, like a Luis Robert. He wants to be great. The White Sox would like him to be great because, you know, whatever next step might be there could help both parties a great deal, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. Boy, Luis Robert, haven't really mentioned him. It's just such an odd thing. His existence on the team just feels like an anomaly. Like the overall focus and the goal, I'm ready for the zoom out. I'm talking about it. I'm enjoying that because it's clearly what they're doing. Robert is like a vestige of a different time, a different goal, a different era. It's just such a weird thing. All that said, he looks pretty good, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he has. You know, the there was patience yesterday in a couple of his plate appearances. Drew a walk, if I recall correctly. If it wasn't yesterday, it was day before. It'd be really interesting to see if a little bit more of a patient approach, not a ton. I mean, I'm talking like 35 walks would be great. That would be awesome. He's a guy who's going to bang mistakes. You know, he's absolutely going to punish you in the strike zone if you leave the hanger there. And we didn't see that enough when he came back from injury last season. I think it's a move the White Sox are going to be ready to make as soon as another team is ready to make it. I don't think it's a thing that this front office is saying, well, you know, it's deadline. We want deadline prices. We want deadline pressure on other teams. I think they can be ready to go. I mean, you know, the Luis Arraez trade from the Marlins to the Padres. I think this fits that type of bill. Not in return, just in terms of timing and team needs. I think it's there. I think it is weird. But this is a team that dealt with you know, in a good way, has learned to deal with some weird. Last year at 41 and 121 with the Garrett Crochet thing, I mean, the conversation got odd at points, right? Mm-hmm. Up to the deadline with Crochet and the extension and whatnot. But you have to learn to live with that. You have to learn to deal with and make those uncomfortable moments work for you. And I think the White Sox were able to do that, you know, given the return that they got for Garrett Crochet this offseason.
Yeah, Luis Arraez dealt on the 4th of May last year from the Marlins to the Padres. And obviously Dylan Cease dealt last year in late March from the White Sox to the Padres. So really what we're talking about is just when A.J. Preller gets antsy. That's right.
Which is any day ending in Y, as I understand it.
I know. I just freaking love that guy, though. I gotta say,
same.
I actually do.
Absolutely.
All right. So this afternoon, Connor. Last thing. Spring breakout. What's on tap for this game? And you get to call it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have the play-by-play over on CHSN. Game starts at 2 out here, which I believe is 4 Central Time. I'm awful at the math. And it's going to be the who's who. I mean, I've seen the lineup. It is, I mean, it's the guys. It's everybody you want to see. We'll see Woko a little bit. We'll see Hagen Smith. We'll see Noah Schultz. Some interesting arms out of the bullpen as well. And this broadcast, Brooke Fletcher will be in the booth with me. We're going to fill it out. Chuck Arfine's on the sidelines. We're going to talk to players throughout as Noah and Hagen come out of the game. We'll go down to the dugout and talk with them about their outings. You're going to hear from Chris Getz. You're going to hear from Paul Janisch. I mean, we're going to bring you the stories. This is going to be a bit different of a broadcast because the game is different itself. What we're talking about here this afternoon is the future of the White Sox, and I think that deserves a little bit of a different kind of baseball conversation throughout the day's events. I'm really excited about the game. You know, the White Sox didn't get to play in a breakout game last year. It was rained out here in Arizona, which is happening far too often for my taste. But it's a cool opportunity and a spot for, you know, a guy like Colson Montgomery or whomever to kind of, you know, make people regret some decisions that got made. Because after all, that is his job here the next, you know, 10 days, 10 weeks. We'll see what it looks like. It's Colson's job to make people say, well, maybe we should have given him that nod after all, you know?
Yep. Hey, Connor, have a great broadcast. Thanks so much for the time. Great to be able to talk to you again legally, sir.
Anytime, Speaks. Anytime.
All right, man. Thanks. That's Connor McKnight, Connor McDoink. Connor Podium is over there on the CHS.
Jay Podium taking the cutler in just a couple minutes.
That's the best. So anyway, nice to have Connor back. All right, we got about 40 minutes left. I got some things I want to do. I got some things I want to talk about. But we also have some phone lines that we should throw open once again. Hit the magic button that opens the phone lines there, Robbie Triano. That's it. 312-644-6767. Cub fans, Sox fans, anything you like regarding what the conversation has been over the last couple hours. The aggression that's needed from the Cubs to be a winner this year. What are some of those points of aggression that you want to see in terms of playing time, roster decisions, and other things in terms of the gameplay? And for the White Sox, the aggression that they could show in terms of bringing some of those kids up and getting them experience, giving you something to enjoy as White Sox fans, and exposing them to the best teaching possible. Let's discuss at 312-644-6767. It's Spiegs on Hit and Run up until noon on The Score.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Almased.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The vapors. You know, Connor wasn't lying. This White Sox lineup for the spring breakout game taking place this afternoon does have everybody. Chase Medroth is leading off and playing third base. I hope he makes the opening day roster as the starting shortstop. Kyle Teal is in there as a DH. Edgar Caro is in there as a catcher. Those are the two catching prospects, both likely to start at Charlotte. And those are the two guys I'd like to see in the bigs by midseason. Colson Montgomery is playing short. Braden Montgomery, who's another part of that Red Sox trade package for Garrett Crochet, is playing center field. That is a toolsy young man. And who else? George Walco is in there. And the pitcher's Hagen Smith, one of the great young lefties in this White Sox system. So there's a lot to see. If you're one of those guys who is willing to zoom out, who is wanting to watch the kids and see some stuff that you could believe in that might not be here yet but is on its way, that's a game for you to watch. For those of you who do not want that, well, then there's nothing there for you. This is Bob in the South Side on 670 The Score. Bob, you're on Hit and Run. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Delightful.
I was just really calling in because no, there's no faith in Chris Getz, because since he's been here, one, his claim to fame was he was one of Kenny and Rick's guys, and he was running the farm systems. The farm systems were god awful,
mm-hmm.
And so is our major league team right now. He was supposed to be the quickest guy to turn us around. Who was they? Who were the other guys? It was only him. And the trades are awful. Kopech trade. We didn't even get anybody from St. Louis, but awful. Crochet, I believe we should have got a lot more. And this is a meatball comment, but I still can't get it out of my head. His very first interview, when he interviewed as the new GM for the Sox, he didn't even wear Sox colors. But no, there's no confidence in him. Yes, Barfield and Bannister, yeah, he hired them and they're great. And, you know, it's another going to be another 101 lost season. And it's just, you know, we want to be competitive again.
Hey, Bob, hold on. This is a really good call. I'm enjoying it. I do have to go back. What colors was he wearing? I don't remember the original.
He was wearing an orange. He was wearing an orange tie with a gray suit. He wasn't wearing black or white or anything like that. He was
right.
I was like, why does he got a tiger tie on his suit?
You sure it wasn't an Orioles tie? You don't know.
Or that too. Hey, I wouldn't mind if he had like Oriole mentality, you know, bringing up Farnham like or what they did. But they had all those number ones though for a while. So.
Right. You got Gunnar Henderson. You can wear that Orioles tie.
That's why nobody believes in him, because he didn't do nothing with the farm system, and he was a part of Kenny. He threw Kenny and Rick under the bus, and that's how I believe how he got the job.
Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be a GM.
Yeah.
But the farm system was horrible, and that's what he was using as. Oh, I ran the farm teams.
Uh-huh.
The farm teams. Look back then when he was running them, they were atrocious.
Oh, Bob, look. It's something hinky went on as Chris Getz curried the favor of the big man in decay. You know, I think we all know that it's whoever gets Jerry's ear over these last few years. At least it's not Tony. You know, at least Chris Getz is not Tony. That's good. Does that do enough for you? Not really. I know. No, look, the process by which he got the job sucks. It undeniably sucks. I'm just looking at what's been done since. And you're right that trade right now, you know, that for Kopech and Fetty and all those guys, all those players that got sent away for a big pile of nothing except Miguel Vargas, like it really needs to work out. And Vargas is a massive key for that. Miguel Vargas got here on the 29th of July, and he proceeded to hit 104 over 157 plate appearances. He was 14 for 135. It's not good. Really freaking gruesome. And he's got to show. I mean, that's like that eye. That's a scary selection from Chris Getz. As the main cog, really the only cog of consequence there. You know, Jake Eater from the Jake Berger trade. Like, some of the pro-scouting acquisitions are a little scary. So you look at this Red Sox batch that he got for Crochet. I like Kyle Teal. I kind of like Braden Montgomery. I have no idea if Chase Medroth is a big league player, but I'd like to find out now.
So let's live in Bob's world for a second. Let's say you have to wear the color of the team you're interviewing for in your interview. What would be the worst team that you'd want to interview for?
Well, I mean, at least once you've gotten the job, I think that's what Bob's upset about. Like, if you're interviewing, I mean, not necessarily. I think you go neutral if you're interviewing. But once you have the job... And you're showing up. I mean, don't wear an orange tie, or else Bob's gonna lose.
Like, let's say you're the Oakland A's. You got the Oakland A's job. Are you wearing the Masters suit? Are you wearing a Masters green tie? Like, what are you doing?
It's a good question. Crazy Dave has texted in. I'm trying to remember what Theo wore for his first press conference. Yeah, were they Cubs colors? Was it an orange tie? Sure, I'm sure it wasn't Red Sox stuff.
He said this was a meatball comment. That was a meatball comment.
It was. At least he knew it. And none of his other comments were meatball-y. I appreciate that. Let's go to John in Minnesota on the score. John, what's up? Welcome. Good morning. It's hit and run. It's baseball season. How are you?
Spiegs, it's great to have you back. Our Sunday, you know, baseball companion, at least until Bump and Run takes over. But, here's my take that on the Cubs and being aggressive. And this is coming from a guy that's not a Hoyer guy. I think he deserves a lot of credit with the restrictions that Rick has kind of put on him financially. I mean, he went out and got Kyle Tucker and Presley. I think Boyd is a really sneaky signing. I do think they have some starting pitching depth, which you need. But I wish he'd step all the way out on the ledge or would have and went and have got a top-of-the-rotation guy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what this team needs. And I was fortunate enough to spend a week, you know, down in Mesa and watch some games and went to the backfields. I mean, all their prospects are at the upper levels right now. He's got capital to trade, and they just don't. I know they got rid of Cam Smith, and that could come back and bite him, but he needs to go out and if he's going to save it, and they just didn't do it, and you feel like he had some opportunities. So I'd like to see them still find a number one, because I like this team a lot, and I think they're going to be fun to watch on offense, and I'm not going to be pulling my hair out watching every at bat. But that's the final piece. I'd like to see him do that.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, I wanted a friend of the rotation starter as well. I wanted a big-time power righty with swing-and-miss stuff, and that's why the Dylan Cease trade conversations have interested me greatly, and they still do. I guess there's about 7, 8, 9 teams who have been interested on Dylan Cease and have been talked about. I think our conversations have gone on with. You'll see some more aggression, especially if need be, from Jed Hoyer as this season gets going. He wanted Alex Bregman bad. And Alex Bregman wanted the Cubs. And it obviously came down to Cubs and Red Sox, and the Red Sox won it. But you heard the way that Hoyer talked about it at that press conference after they missed out on Bregman, and he talked about it, thanking ownership for giving him a chance to get there, but they just did not quite get there. Cam Smith is the number one prospect now for the Astros, and Cam Smith is learning where to play, and Cam Smith is playing right field. He's playing all over the outfield. This is a guy who's a third baseman, but Isak Paredes is going to play there. And at second base, they're going to use a mix of Mauricio Dubon and Brendan Rodgers. They're moving Jose Altuve to left field, and Cam Smith is learning right field. That's a serious, serious, important position for the 22-year-old Cam Smith. He has said it's honestly been fun. It's like I'm just playing fetch out there. Goal is just catch the ball. I feel like a kid. All right, well, good for him. Maybe it's possible. That is a damn good young player. And, boy, seeing him make the Astros and possibly be a part of things right off the bat. Can you imagine, all right, nightmare scenario, Cam Smith as a low-money 22-year-old rookie has a better year in right field than Kyle Tucker. Freaking nightmare scenario right there. I don't think that's going to take place. But now that I put it out there in the world.
What would be the name of that curse?
I don't know. Cubs are going to be good. Don't worry. This is Tom in Glendale Heights on 670 The Score. What's up, Tom? How are you?
Hey, Spiegel. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks, buddy.
So, as a White Sox fan, am I excited for the young guys? Of course I am. I mean, the White Sox have some of the best young collection of pitching talent in all of baseball with Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith, a bunch of other guys. The depth that they have is very good. But I'm done rushing guys up. Take Colson Montgomery as an example, okay? Why, if the plan was for him to be the opening day starter at shortstop, that's a dumb plan. What'd he do, hit .214 last year in the minors? Yeah. I know he had a better second half, and I know that his Arizona Fall League, he was great because everybody's good in the Arizona Fall League. But I'm done rushing guys. You know, Andrew Bust Vaughn was rushed. Oscar Colas, rushed. All of these guys have been rushed for what reason? If Colson Montgomery is great in the minors for a month, then fine, then bring him up. But just giving him the job makes no sense. That's a really stupid plan. The idea that we're just giving guys spots, no, make them work for it. Like, I just don't understand this idea that he's the opening day starter, no questions asked. And, of course, he got hurt, which, you know, and obviously I didn't want that to happen, but at the same time, he wasn't having a great spring training. Mm-hmm. Colson Montgomery he had one home run off of a lefty, I know, good for him. And then he had 5 strikeouts and 10, 9 or 10 at bats. Stop rushing guys. let them develop. What are we going to win this year? 52 games? Who cares?
Well, Tom, you have a rare patience. You have a rare bit of patience and a rare ability to look at it like that. And you also see the danger that that doing this can be. Look, I mean, Andrew Vaughn was drafted as a complete hitter. The thought was that he was a complete hitter, and he had proved it in college. And then you needed that guy as an adult hitter to be part of some teams as you were trying to win things. You were trying to win right away. Reminds me a lot of Spencer Torkelson in Detroit, you know, big time Pac-12 hitter, first baseman, and then it does not translate. And it shows you why you shouldn't draft guys like that up that high, and probably why you shouldn't rush guys up that high. I did think in 2022 when Vaughn was hitting, what, about 270 that year, and the OBP was up there at like 320, and, you know, he was nearing above league average, and he had OPS plus of 111 that year. I thought, all right, well, you know, this is fine. They can work with this, and, you know, they were throwing him in the outfield and right field and left field just because they were scrambling and didn't have enough. But Montgomery, I think they thought he was going to be the cookie. They thought he was going to be the guy who would really excite fans as an emblem. I mean, you just heard him as the centerpiece of a live read about 20 minutes ago that Robbie Triano read. So there was an idea that he was going to be an emblem of possibility. But if he ain't ready, he ain't ready. So I commend him for sending him down if he's not ready. Colas is just a big, big miss. And they know, Getz knows what they have. So separate that in terms of regimes, in my opinion. So good points, though. Good points, good thoughts. Appreciate them all. 312-644-6767. If you want to hop in, one more segment of Hit and Run to come. That's the phone number, and it's available. That's also how you can text us, and we can do that. We'll do Team of the Moment when we come back, and got a couple stray baseball thoughts we'll get in before the top of the hour right here on The Score.
2-1 pitch to Bregman. Rips that one high to left field, up towards the wall, and over everything. Welcome to Boston, Alex Bregman.
Where they want to throw it, MLB. Campbell has hit one out.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, he's not the biggest guy in the world, but he has such bat speed and strength and, like, just squares balls up. I mean, the question is, does he play second? Does he play short? Does he play the outfield?
To right field into the corner. And that one's gone up onto the deck. So Campbell and Meyer go back to back, and the Red Sox lead 3-0.
They don't have
Anthony. Now all three of the big three have gone deep, and this one a tape measure shot.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eye.
Every Sunday on Hit and Run, we'll do a team of the moment. And to me right now, it is the Boston Red Sox. In a crowded American League East, I'm here to tell you they're going to win that division. That Red Sox-Yankees is back as a rivalry, and now that the Yankees are down both Luis Gill and Garrett Crochet, Red Sox have the upper hand there. The Orioles have not done quite enough to capitalize on all those young kids getting good and getting to the big leagues at the same time. And having lost Corbin Burns, they will feel that one. And the Red Sox are locked and loaded. That rotation is really, really interesting. Now, their opening day starter is Garrett Crochet. Tanner Houck and Walker Buehler are very, very good arms. Brian Bello is a good arm, but he's a little bit banged up. Lucas Giolito says he's ready to go, but they're not letting him start. So we got to figure out if that remade rotation is truly going to be locked and loaded, but it's real good at the top. And then the closer is Liam Hendricks. Aroldis Chapman is also there. There's big-time arms in that bullpen on the way there. Garrett Whitlock, Adam Ottavino is added in. Josh Winkowski is a very useful arm. And then you look around at that position player group, and it is going to be augmented either from day one or eventually by some of those kids who just homered right there. The Red Sox have three big-time prospects. Christian Campbell, Marcelo Mayer, and Roman Anthony, and all three of them homered in their spring breakout game the other night, and all three of them might impact the big league club. One or two of them could very well be on your opening day roster. Either way, you know what I believe about very good teams and what they need, a mix of the veterans who have been there and done that and the young, fresh-eyed kids with absurd talent who are too stupid to know that they should not feel the pressure. And the Red Sox have those guys. They have those guys, and I think that some of them are going to impact this team. Christian Campbell, I bet, will be your starter at opening day at second base, and we'll see if Mayer comes up and plays or if Anthony comes up and plays. Meanwhile, Jarren Duran is the real deal on that team. Trevor Story back healthy to start at shortstop, and they won the Alex Bregman Derby. They won the Alex Bregman Derby, and Bregman comfortably now at third base. Rafael Devers, the best hitter on the team, is happy to be the DH. I just think they are loaded. I think Alex Cora is a really good manager, and I think Craig Breslow is a really smart boss, getting advice from his guy Theo Epstein on the ownership level. Theo helped him close the Alex Bregman trade. Sedan Rafaela in center field is an enormously talented and fast and toolsy kid. I just really like the mix. Now look, is this lifelong Red Sox fan, Matt Spiegel, rearing its head for the first team of the moment in 2025?
That was my first thought.
It's possible. Sure. Whatever. Maybe I want my dad at 91 to have one more season of excellence. I mean, maybe I'll have a few more. I don't want to kill him off.
Yeah, but yet. I mean, he's seen a lot the last two decades. Okay, that's a lot of sports fandom.
He's been a very, very lucky and fortunate guy over the last two decades. But I want him to have a season. Is it so wrong, everybody, that I want my dad to be happy? Really? You got to go hating on me? Hold on. Editor's note. No one's actually hating on you, Matt. You're inventing opponents. You're inventing John Q. Strawman has entered the building. He doesn't actually exist, Spiegs. Here's the funny thing about my dad, by the way, is that he has re-embraced the Red Sox fan identity of his youth and middle age and early dotage, if that's such a thing. Every once in a while, they'll lose a game, and he'll text me and say, same old Red Sox. They break your heart. That's what they do. They make you think they're going to win, and then they break your heart. And I'm like, Dad, you don't get to do that anymore. You don't. Just because you did it. I mean, I know that you were 13 and crying at bar mitzvah practice when Enos Slaughter scored from first, you know? Everybody knows you were crying in 1946 at age 13, but a lot has happened since then. They went back to the World Series. They lost a couple times. Then they won three. They won three times. You don't get to have that identity anymore, but he really likes it.
This feels like the first year, though, and I've heard Bill Simmons talk about this. This feels like the first year for the Red Sox where they can actually be happy about their team since the Mookie Betts trade. I think since that trade, a lot of Red Sox fans just kind of checked out.
Yeah, they did. And the Red Sox entered a spot where they seem to be doing what the perception of the Cubs has been. Hanging around that first level of the luxury tax, but not going over, and not quite trying to complete the roster in a way that helps you actually possibly win the World Series, or said a different way, project as a 90-win team, which is what Craig Counsell asked them to do last year. So yeah, there's been a lot of Red Sox fans who've been grumpy about them just not going past it and trying to maintain sustainability and such. But then 3 years, $120 million for Alex Bregman, and it kicked it over the edge. And now Red Sox fans are absolutely excited. So we will see what happens with that. But that is the team of the moment. And my dad, I think, is entitled to re-embrace the identity if he wants to. I just, you know, I don't yell at him not to. I just let him do it. Let the man have his joy.
When does your Red Sox fandom creep out? When does it come out? Working in this market, it's difficult to not kind of root or trust these teams. Not trust, but like fully dive into the Chicago teams.
Yeah, no, we'll see. You know, I'm born and bred that way, so it's there. But, you know, like, I like the colors. I get a little emotional. I get a little connected when I see the colors and I see the logo. I got a hat I like to wear. I mean, it's definitely there. I've got stuff that I've handed down to the son, and that's come from nephews and cousins and such, like family stuff. So that's been, you know, so it's there, but it doesn't really come out in rooting from a night to night basis. But we'll see. I am crowing and excited about the idea of them being better than the Yankees. So that's still there. I smiled at Gerrit Cole's injury. That make me a bad guy?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, I think it does.
But there's like Danny Parkin says it best, which is the first time he'll ever get, and the only time he'll get mentioned on this show right here. But sports hate is better than real life hate. You sports hate him.
Right. By the way, Lawrence was in the open. My partner Lawrence was actually in the open. And we all know that he hears this show on occasion, certainly more than Danny ever did. By the way, Danny and Chris Tannehill having quite the weekend together in New York. Very nice. I know they went to see Glengarry Glen Ross last night with Bill Burr and Kieran Culkin and more in that cast. I look forward to hearing about that from Tanny tomorrow when we reconvene as a show. That'll be quite fun. One other nugget that I saw, I don't know if anybody saw, but Chris Sale in the Braves-Red Sox game that they played, the spring training game, he gave an homage to Luis Tiant, one of the most fun and really most enjoyable pitchers in the history of the game, who passed away this offseason. Sale's first pitch, he did the Tiant thing where he turned his entire torso away from the catcher and then came back and made the pitch. It was wild because that's not his normal delivery, that's for sure. But I loved that. I loved him honoring El Tiante in that way. Can't wait for baseball season. We're going to have some fun on this show. We'll do a team of the moment every week. We'll always take your phone calls every week. More segments developing. Robbie Triano is in and locked and loaded. Looking forward to this season on Hit and Run. That is for damn sure. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Been a lot of fun today. Thanks to our guests, Connor McKnight from CHSN. Thanks to Lance Brzdowski from Marquee, and to Alex Cohen from Marquee. One in Japan and one in Arizona. Either way, great fun to have all those guys on, and great to reconnect with you, the callers and the texters. Thanks so much for listening. A reminder that coming up after us today is CBS Sports Radio. A reminder also that Manny's Deli is going to be there this Tuesday morning for Mully and Haw, the watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com or visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942. 77 years of delicious. And also, tune in tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. on The Score for BetMGM Network's Countdown to Tip-Off. Nick Costos and Brad Evans will react to the brackets right after they're released and give their best bets for the tournament. That's tonight at 6, right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. For Robbie Triano, I'm Matt Spiegel. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Hit and Run.